Welcome to the ISTE ASCD podcast, supporting you in your work to transform student learning. Here's your host for today's program.
Hi, everyone. This is Anthony Rabora, the Chief Content Officer with ISTE ASCD. Principal pipeline initiatives and other leadership development programs have become increasingly common in recent years as schools seek to ensure stability and impact in instructional leadership positions. Research shows that these positions have an outsized effect on both teacher effectiveness and student learning. But how do districts sustain and optimize their leadership pipeline programs? What keeps these programs from becoming just another siloed initiative subject to shifts in system priorities and funding or general lack of follow-through? To explore these questions, I'm joined today by a leading expert on the topic. Ellen Goldring is the Patricia and Rhodes Hart Professor of Education Leadership and Policy at Vanderbilt University's Peabody College of Education and Human Development. She's the lead author of a recent research report published by the Wallace Foundation titled Implementing for Sustainability, Principal Pipelines in Four Districts. She and her co-researchers, Catherine James McCraw and Molly Rubin, also highlight their findings in an article in the October 2025 issue of Educational Leadership titled Building Principal Pipelines That Last. Professor Ellen Goldring, welcome. It's nice to get a chance to talk with you.
My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
So your report is about sustaining principal pipelines, but for our listeners, let's start a little back from there. What defines a principal pipeline in your research, and why are they important right now?
Absolutely. So principal pipelines are a systematic, aligned approach for school districts to really address the pathway from teaching to leadership. And in many places, that pathway, we can say, or that pipeline is quite leaky. And it is not clear how teachers interested in moving into leadership positions, whether that be teacher leadership, assistant principals, or ultimately the principalship, how one prepares oneself, how a teacher prepares themselves for that shift, what type of training, mentoring, and support is available, and how one actually begins to think about moving into a leadership position. So a systematic, aligned approach to career development and succession planning, which includes recruitment, hiring, support, mentoring, and ultimately assignment to a particular school, is how we think about principal pipelines. The reason they're so important, especially now, is because of both the turnover and the shortages for school leader positions in many districts across the United States. Some of this has shifted dramatically since COVID. And the other is because really the changing nature and demands and responsibilities about what it means to be a principal, and therefore what it means to prepare oneself to be ready to lead in a very complex, changing schooling environment across the U.S.
Yeah, it's such an important position right now, and always, but particularly recognized right now.
Exactly. And very changing. Yes.
In your report, you write that implementation of sustainability in principal pipeline programs and other initiatives as well is a forward view of implementation. What do you mean by that? You emphasize this a couple times.
Yes. So often in a change management approach, one thinks about steps. And those steps often include change readiness, prototype design, structural changes, cultural changes, trying things out, bringing data. And then at the end of it all, they said, okay, this works. We have a model that works. Let's think about how to sustain it over time. So sustainability is often a step in a change management process that comes towards the end. And we claim that that's way too late, that often those questions about how we're going to sustain a new initiative, and in this case, principal pipelines, really has to be built into all the planning, development, cultural shifts, structural shifts from the very beginning, so that we are planning for and changing for sustainability, not thinking of sustainability when it's all said and done. And there's a lot of reasons for that planning and changing for sustainability, but it embeds the question of long-term sustainability to the front of the planning and change process rather than at the end.
And you and your colleagues studied four districts that have had success in sustaining pipeline initiatives. The initiatives themselves differed in many ways, and the districts are quite different. You had Newark, New Jersey, Greenville County in South Carolina, Philadelphia, Cumberland County in North Carolina. But based partly on the work you saw them doing, you developed a kind of unifying framework for sustainable implementation. Can you describe that briefly?
Yeah, so the framework was both emergent and developed, of course, to align with other literature and other frameworks of implementation and sustainability. And our framework, like all frameworks, you know, have some specific domains that we found were both present and aligned with prior research on change and implementation. So the first part of the framework, and we call it ensuring strategic alignment, talks about the extent to which principal pipelines actually align with and are part of the strategic vision of the district. And it's very clear how pipelines are embedded into the strategic plans and initiatives. So it's not, we're doing pipelines over here, and maybe we're going to consider chronic absenteeism over here as a main goal. The question is, how do those things actually fit together? And part of this strategic alignment piece is very important because it helps then the next part of the framework, which is really communicating clarity of intent. So part of sustainability or planning and implementing for sustainability is the importance of consistent, clear, and coherent communication, of course, from the top. And in this case, it's the superintendent and the board, but it's also clearly articulating principal pipelines as a priority and how it aligns with other strategic goals so that multiple actors within a school district, including teachers, community members, those participating in the pipeline themselves can see the relationship of the pipeline to the larger strategic vision for the district. So that second is kind of that communication and having that permeate beyond just the top level, but really throughout so that many stakeholders understand why pipelines, who's involved in the pipelines, how you get involved in the pipelines, and what the goals are. So that's the second part of the framework. The third part is aligning institutional elements and supports. This is like the core work of restructuring central office, making sure that there's a key leader, a point person, silos are broken down. Pipelines are complicated because it typically cuts across multiple domains in central office. It includes a human resource department or personnel. Often there's a leadership development side, there's academics, professional development. So this domain is like the nuts and bolts of implementing the pipelines and partnering with external partners, which often includes universities for licensure and certifications. So how is the district reframing, reforming, and actually providing the various elements or domains of a pipeline is the next one. And then the last one is really unique and important. A lot of people ask about it, and it's called maintaining priority. Because it is not just that we've implemented pipelines and now we have these building blocks in place, there's alignment, there's communications, we've taken care of structures and cultures, and we have a designated leader and activities, PD, training, licensure, all of these things. But districts change all the time. And if we say we're done and now we're just sustaining, chances are there'll be misalignment before we know it or miscommunications. So maintaining priority is to keep this focus on the what, why, and how, and modifying in a data-based way in terms of looking at data and evaluating, but also being willing to be somewhat flexible to change when change is needed within the overall framework of pipelines. So it's not like a one and done, and now we're just sustaining it. We need to continually reflect, learn, and evaluate and modify as necessary to keep the priorities of where we're going. So those are the key elements of our framework.
So of those elements, you have strategic alignment, clarity of intent, aligning institutional elements, maintaining priority. Do you have a sense of which areas districts struggle with the most?
No, because it varies.
Okay.
Each district was quite unique, as districts are, and they have different things in place. I mean, when you start engaging in change, some districts already have very clear communication channels and they can use that, whereas other districts might not. So I wouldn't say everyone was challenged in one domain over another domain. I think it depends on what the district already had in place to rely on and to build from. So, for example, some districts of the ones that we studied really had pipelines very well integrated into their strategic documents, into their board documents, and they were probably a little further along in their implementation of pipelines because that had already been worked out. One challenge we did see that not only these four case studies, because these four were part of a much larger group of districts that were working in a professional learning community to understand both the planning for and the implementation of pipelines, and districts were in all different stages of this work. You know, the structures of central office and the silos in central office were really something that had to be grappled with for many of the districts. And that included thinking about roles, responsibilities, and the time it takes to do the work of principal pipelines. You know, the natural proclivity in many public organizations and many organizations, right, is to just add a new job description into a person who already has a full-time job. And so if we're taking on pipelines and now we're developing partnerships with the university and we have to decide on recruitment strategies and admission strategies and what the curriculum is going to be to better meet the needs of licensure for a particular district, that's a lot of time and a lot of development needed in that partnership space. So one of the things many districts had to really think about is how to organize the team within central office that was going to design and then ultimately implement all the different parts of a pipeline. And that required some real thinking because that's also a culture shift. And lastly, I'll say about the aligning institutional elements is who ultimately is responsible or leading the team that's working on pipelines. So for some districts, this was a newer position. So there was real liaising to the superintendent's cabinet, or maybe the member was a member of the cabinet. So those are some of the biggest internal structural challenges, especially when resources are constrained.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. If I'm remembering correctly, all of the districts had appointed a designated point person for this work.
Correct.
Yeah.
That was one of the things. But when I think about these four compared to others in our work, and this is how the importance of a point person or lead came into our framework, we saw really the difference that makes. That person can also be really key for the communication and articulating intent, making sure that that alignment happens throughout the district.
So how have these districts maintained funding and resources for their pipeline initiatives, given all the budgetary pressures, especially right now, and all the change in education?
Yes. So it's really interesting. Of course, this report was written before some of the more recent challenges that districts are facing, including, I'll say, many districts now are starting to face student enrollment decreases, which will have implications for their funding. So this was written before those shifts. But what was really interesting is that the large majority of these districts and all of the districts that we were studying, their funding came from internal resources, not external. In other words, not foundation funding, not philanthropy. So they were looking at their operating budgets with the resources that are allowable for professional development, for human resources tasks, and they were reallocating or allocating internal resources to the pipelines. The other thing they were doing was rethinking what are the high value tasks and roles that people in professional development, for example, mentoring, support, how to align the roles and responsibilities of experts in the districts to pipelines. So sometime, as you know, organizations need to redesign themselves and reframe themselves to new initiatives. And so you can do that by using existing personnel who have the skills and the dispositions to do different work. So we might have been willy-nilly doing PD, and it was sign up for topics that you're interested in. Well, now we're doing PD that is very aligned to what it takes to be a successful principal in this district. Before, we might have been doing practice interviews for hiring that were voluntary, and now we're ensuring that anyone in the pipeline program are coming to our practice interview and mock interview processes. So some of it is a matter of using the resources we have to much better align and articulate how the pieces of what's happening in central office work together for principal pipelines. If listeners are interested in the resourcing, the RAND, when RAND did their original research on the six districts that implemented principal pipelines, they did do a big report on the funding. And one of the things they also found was that this was a relatively cost, I don't want to say cost neutral, but a relatively cost effective way to use existing resources. So there's a lot more information on that in that report.
As you mentioned earlier, you and your colleagues in this report emphasize that these districts use evaluation and data collection as a big part of maintaining the priority of these programs.
Yes.
What sort of data were they collecting and how were they using it?
So this was actually an area that was a big challenge, a bigger challenge, because it's newer to think about it. And often this is referred to as leadership tracking systems. So it's developing an integrated data system. So for example, do we know that principals that have gone through the pipeline, so we are tracking how many PD sessions they went to, where did they get their licensure program, did they have a mentor, what was the mentor experience like? So all this is in a tracking system, and then you can begin to ask yourself, do principals who go through our pipeline programs and processes have higher evaluation scores than those before who didn't? We could evaluate that. We could ask, what's the retention rate of principals who have gone through pipelines versus principals who didn't? We can look at historical trends. How many applicants do we have for vacant positions? How are we better able to have a deep applicant pool for schools that are facing challenges? Do we have a robust pool? So it's a matter of really thinking about what the goals of the pipeline are. And then a theory of action suggests if we're doing A, B, C, D, E, and F from our pipeline, what are the outcomes and how do we know that we're being successful? And if so, for which schools and for which individuals? So those are the types of data that districts are beginning to collect and use in this kind of monitoring system.
So you also note that all these districts had really integrated their pipeline initiatives into their strategic plans. But I was curious, as a researcher, what tells you that something is substantively a part of a district strategy and not just lip service or not just another program?
Sure. And we have some examples in the report, obviously, by looking at the strategic plans and seeing if principal pipelines are ever mentioned.
Yeah.
So we looked at the actual documents. And if there was a strategic goal around, for example, closing achievement gaps, and then there was a statement ensuring effective personnel are in schools to address the needs of students and communities. And then underneath that, there is a sentence or some discussion around principal pipelines as a way to recruit, support, and mentor educators to meet the needs of all students. So you can see principal pipelines, whether they're actually in documents or not. That was one of the main ways. Of course, the other, as you said, it could be lip service because someone could say, oh, yes, yes, we have it. But we have some artifacts actually in the report, and that's the best evidence now.
Right. And it sounds like it's important for them to be tied to other initiatives.
Right. Principal pipelines, in most cases, district strategic plans have lofty goals. And in most cases, pipelines are in the service of meeting these important goals.
What would you say is the most important lesson district leaders can take away from your findings in terms of supporting school improvement initiatives in general?
It really places a focus on both the opportunity and the availability of thinking within a central office structure to make really important and profound changes with the personnel that you have and limited resources. It's about aligning, communicating, and redesigning the functions and the processes around leadership development. I think it's a very powerful model, both in terms of what you're trying to change, which are the domains of a principal pipeline, and how one can begin to think about a change process, which is implementing for sustainability. And putting those two things together within a district, I think is just very, number one, it's doable. And number two, the effects can be profound because we know that one of the most important elements for effective schools and for influencing teachers and students is the quality of the leader. So if you're asking yourself, how do we have highly effective leaders in schools? Where do they come from? How do we plan for that so that in 3 years, we're not all of a sudden saying, oh my goodness, we have lots of principals who are retiring. What are we going to do? And we hear across the country when there are vacancies in some schools and they have very few applicants, or they're trying to recruit applicants who have not been prepared and don't understand the local context of the district and of the community that they're going to work in, then it's too late. This is a very forward-thinking approach to personnel management and human resource management. And the results, I think, are well documented.
Thank you. Professor Ellen Goldring, thanks so much for taking the time for talking with us about your work on this important topic.
My pleasure.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. To read the full report, Implementing for Sustainability, Principal Pipelines in 4 Districts, visit wallacefoundation.org. To read Ellen Goldring and her colleagues' article in the October 2025 issue of Educational Leadership, which is all about educator retention, go to www.ascd.org/EL. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.